Hello, this is Aiden, and welcome to this little mini podcast about the Olympus DM620, which I've now got for, I think, already about 2 years now, more or less. And I must say, I do like it a lot. I like the metal or whatever it's made of. I think it really suits the machine fine. It's small enough. Well, it's even smaller than the Book Sense, and that's really, I think, a very positive point about it. And I'll try my best to go through some of the basic as well as the more advanced features it really offers. I'm not an audio engineer, and I'm not gonna try and be like one of those. I do audio editing, however, when I need to. But I do work mostly with MIDI when I do music, so I'm not really doing this from the perspective that an audio engineer would. And besides, I think this DM range does not really have everything that perhaps some of the audio engineers would like to have, such as a limiter and a compressor and that sort of thing. But the recordings it made is quite decent, I think. Actually, better than most other brands and other variety of machines similar to this. Now, I can't compare this to the DM520, as I don't have a 520. And the 520 is not available in my region because I'm not in the US, and where I am from, mostly we get whatever Europe, whatever comes to Europe is what we get. And in our case, they have equivalent models for the 520, the 420, the 520, and the 620. And what happened is, except that they're changing it around, you have the 420 and the 520. And the 420, I think, has 2 gig memory, and I think those are discontinued now that the 620 start to come in. By the way, just excuse the quality of this recording. I can't really use the machine as I have to work on it to record this anyway. So I'm just using the stream for this, just to get this done, and I just apologize for that. But anyway, so what you have is now, in our case, in Europe, you get the situation where they changed the model name. So now you have the 450, which corresponds to the 420, the 550 that corresponds to the 520. And then when the 620 came, there was nothing equivalent for a while. And then they came out with the 650 and the DM670. And the 650 did not have voice guidance at all, although that was the same as the 620, except for that, because it still had 4 gig memory and all the rest. So in our case, if you can't find the 620, you would rather buy a DM670, because that have 8 gig memory and it has a speech, while the 620 only have 4 gig memory. So that's maybe one plus point, but it's not nice that it's not constant for the DM range. With the LS models of the Olympus, it's actually the same, and the only thing is that some dealers really take long to get them in, so I had to make other plans to get hold of the 620, which I'm glad I could do. I'm not really sorry about the fact that I missed out on the 8 gig of memory on the 670, but anyway, for that, apart from that, they really, I would say, the same in how they feel and how they work. So I can't really compare the description or anything to the 520. What I really can say, however, is that from the menu's point of view, I could just say that it adds, and I'll go through the menus just to make sure that, you know, everything is covered. I know that Maybe some of you might know already some of the stuff, so please bear with me in case someone might not know it and they could learn from it. Of course, the menus would be very similar between the two, except that the 620, it contains a third microphone, so it has an omnidirectional mic, and then, of course, the stereo microphone, so there's obviously an option to turn off the omnidirectional microphone. And it also contains, I think, one extra option, which is a reverb in the playback menu, which I don't think the 520 had, but for the most part it's the same menu-wise as well. I believe that the 520 had a podcast button, I'm not aware of that. In this case, we don't, so let me describe it as good as I can. I'm not good with all sorts of physical description situations, but I think this can do. I guess that it should be the same size or more or less than the 520. I won't be 100% sure, as I never seen the 520. So, but it's of course very similar, and as I said, it's smaller than the BookSense. I don't know the exact measurement, so I'm not even gonna try and do that. That's where I'm not really good at. But if that's why I use the BookSense as the example, so that you can actually know more or less how small that could be. And I guess also it's smaller because it doesn't need the physical keypad, telephone keypad, like our players really always have. So now, this machine on the top, you have the microphones. As I said, three microphones. So, and then the stereo mics is also, I guess, on the sides. There's the left and the right one, and then the omnidirectional mic is right at the top. That's how far I can understand it. And of course, if you monitor your recording, you can touch there and you'll hear that the one mic goes to your left ear and the other mic to your right ear. Then on the left hand side, on the side, you have the earphone jack, and then below that, the remote jack, which of course you Olympus sells the remote separately, which you can use to control the recorder with from a distance. Then below that is just a blank little space, and then there's the on and off switch. Now, I don't know how the DM520 on and off switch works, but since the 620 and onwards, they have this spring-loaded switch that you can push down and wait for a few seconds, release it, and it goes on the same way to put it off again. Now, that's all on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, you have the microphone jack, and below that, there's an SD card slot. Of course, it takes micro SD and micro SDHC cards, and you just open this little holder or card door with your fingernail, and then you can pop the card inwards and it goes out, or you pop it in until it clicks and you leave it and it stays in place like with all the other players. Quite easy, except that micro SD cards are a bit small, and some people struggle to put their finger in there properly and get it all done. So I'm very glad that the latest Olympuses now start to make use of the normal size SD cards. I really appreciate that, although there's nothing wrong with micro SD cards. So this unit uses micro SD cards, and I've took one of my Windows Phone's cards to use in the air. I didn't have one at my disposal by the time I got this. And by the way, any feedback are welcome. Maybe if one of you have the 620 and the 520, tell me also what you think of the packaging of these machines. I find that it's a little tight, but maybe it's a good thing. It's just that maybe I don't have the skills to always work those packaging and handle it. I can't always manage to put everything exactly in the box again the way that it came. Anyway, I've interrupted myself a little bit. Now, then on the front, below the microphones, there's a little groove or something, I guess part of the metal. Not sure if it's sighted print, what's written there or something. Below that is the screen, the LCD display. I believe it's quite good, although I don't have that confirmed, but I know the other people who I did show this machine to could see it quite easily. But of course, that was before I turned my brightness down and my backlight off, so I don't know now that it's off how they would find it. Anyway, below the screen are three keys, small keys. From left to right, it's F1, and then there's the menu key and then F2. Now, this menu key in the middle, they said it's menu slash scene, but for me, it seems that it's rather used mostly for the menu. I guess that what I think they mean by that is that when you're in recording mode, you can then push that and it will bring up your scene presets, which I'll talk about just when we get to that in the menus and just go over what that is and how that works. But of course, when you're in record or play mode, we can't really use the menus if they do pop up. So I'm not sure if that will indeed bring up the menu or just the section where your recording scenes are. That have to be probably investigated further. Then below the function keys and the menu key, you have the play stop key, and then there's a little bit space, and then you have the record key, which is record and pause, and then below the play stop and the record key, actually it's just a stop key, I'm sorry, it can't start playback, you just press it, stop, and it stops. Below those are the normal up, down, left, right arrows with the button in the middle, which is the enter key or the OK key. And then below that, on the left, or more to the left, I would say, is the erase button. And then the right, from on the opposite direction from the erase button, is the list button. And then on the back, they just have some sighted stuff printing, I guess the logo or the name of the thing and so forth. And then there's a piece of rubber at the bottom back. Not sure what that rubber is for. And then at the very, very bottom is the battery door and the USB jack. So the way that you put the batteries in is like, I don't really like that. And I don't know even how to exactly describe that, because for me, I always focus on how, just to feel how to do something. I don't always connect the actual description of some of the smaller detail of what I'm doing with what I'm feeling and stuff like that. So, but from what I can try and describe it, you press on the little sort of a dot on the battery door, and then you, if you, providing that you hold the recorder with the battery door facing you, in other words, upside down, and then you push it towards you, and then it will slide open, or upwards rather, let me say, because you can't remove this battery door, it's attached to the unit. It's like an electric toothbrush. If any of you used those electric toothbrushes that use batteries only, it works similar to that, except that the battery door is attached to the unit. But some of the battery contacts are attached to the door, and then the other contacts are obviously in the unit itself. So you have to orientate the batteries that the one of them should face with the little dot downwards and the other one upwards. And I always forget which one, and then I have to open and try and orient them, and if I'm wrong, then I have to redo it. So I don't like that much, but at least they give you rechargeables, and therefore it mostly it stays in and you can just keep recharging them. The manual state that you cannot use any rechargeable batteries to by means of when you want to charge it in the recorder. So if you want to use another type of rechargeable battery than what they supply, you would then need to also get one of those separate battery chargers available so that you can remove it, charge it, and put it back afterwards. So it's very important then to meet the specs of the supplied batteries carefully. It's nickel metal hydride batteries. I'm not sure about the numbers now and what else might be written on them, but that's worth double checking if you get new ones in future, unless if you're planning to just buy non-rechargeable batteries and use that and buy new ones each time it's getting flat. So the other also difference that I need to point out with the 620 and the 520 is that while we're on the battery subject, the first time you put batteries in, it will then ask you to choose the battery that you are using, your choices between alkaline and nickel metal hydride. And of course you need to choose nickel metal hydride because that's what they supply and that's the only way you can charge. So if you select alkaline and you have the rechargeable batteries in there, it won't charge. Another thing that I quickly have to say also that I think people don't really always get it right. I'm not sure if the 520 works the same. It should actually, and people are not always aware of that. If you are ready to charge the unit and you plug it in, whether it's a wall charger or the computer, if it's completely flat, it will present a window where you need to choose between, well, actually, I'm not sure what the exact options are, what you need to choose, but what I found is that the first choice will offer you to just operate the machine purely on the USB power. So it's connected, but it will not charge the batteries. Or let me say, it won't offer to be taken into charging mode, as of, so to speak. So it stays on a sort of main power mode. And if you plug it out again and you reconnect it, then you have to choose the second option. And there's no speech there. I just figured that out, which then will allow you the recorder to switch on. And after the usual prompts come up, you can then select between PC connection or AC adapter connection, unless if you've set that to one of the defaults to be the case. But even then, it's important to remember to press the OK button when it asks you to do so to start charging. If you don't do it and that dialogue dismiss or something, then it won't charge and you think it might charge and it will never tell you that it does not charge. And it happened to me that I actually tried to record one day with it and then it went dead. So it's important to check that. The manual says that if the recorder die when you're busy recording, you will lose the file. If so, that would be interesting because many of the newer models, it still saves the file. So I'm not sure if that is indeed the case. I guess if the manual says so, it will just as well be the case. So the battery section is a little tricky in terms of to remember which battery should face which direction, but it's not that difficult either. But I'm glad that they improved that in the new models. So then, now let me just quickly talk about what some of the keys do, because not all of them speak. People asked on the PC audio list, what does the 0 and 9 and plus and minus or whatever refers to in the manual. They don't always clearly state which button you must press, while up and down is plus and minus, and left and right refers to the 9 and the 0. I'm not sure why they did that. I really wish that they can improve the PDF accessibility there. And I also wish that they would really now give us complete access to some of these menus. Although, at least for the 620, 520, LS7, all those models, it's not really much of a problem. The areas where they don't speak much. The only pity is it doesn't speak the system info and the memory information. I'll try and scan that with my iPod Touch with goggles and see if that can tell me. Maybe that can work. I'm not sure. I still need to practice with that. In all instances, I guess. So, what I found is that the F1 key, when you are in the main folder list or root directory of the entire player, or even in a subfolder list, or let me rather say this way, wherever you left off in terms of it can seize whenever you play a file, it remembers that, and then while the file is stopped but you're still in the file, it will, if you press it, it takes you to the main directory of the player. If you press it again, it takes you back in the file that you previously were in. Now, I don't really use it that way, but it's kind of nice if you maybe want to immediately get back where you were. But of course, if you are going to go to another file, it will not be able to bring you back to the previous file in that manner. Then, of course, the menu key will just bring up the menu. Nothing complicated there. The other thing of the F1 key is that once the file is actually playing, it will be used for section repetition, so you have to press the key once to set your start point and listen or forward on until you get the point you want to end, and you press it again, it will then repeat that section for you until you press the key again or stop the file and select another file. I guess when you skip to the next file, it will also be unselected. Kind of nice feature there. Then the F2 key, I think also the F1 key can be used to set your 24-hour and 12-hour clock, and also with the date, you can choose between certain date formats. However, it's not really necessary, as you can't really hear the date formats themselves. And as I said before, if you need this clock set, just install Olympus Sonority, which comes with this particular model, and it will then synchronize the date and time for you manually or automatically as you prefer. So you don't even need either sighted help, or you don't need to concentrate on the beeps if you don't want to, unless if you want to set an alarm, which this model still have, or a recording timer. And of course the F2 key, as I wanted to say, will then exit menus when you're in a menu. No matter where you are in a menu, it exits completely out of it. And while the file is playing, it will then, I think even when the file is stopped, it will make in the index marks or temp marks. Index marks are used inside any file that you loaded up to the recorder. So it's like a bookmark, but you can set, I think, 99 of them or so in different files. And temp marks are used for the recordings that's made on the device itself. Other words, in your then folders A to E that you have at your disposal, that's where you'll find those marks. But when it will make the correct mark automatically, you just press it, it makes such a mark, and then you can just delete it by pressing the left key to go back to the beginning of that mark, and then you can use the erase key, and it doesn't ask you anything like when you want to delete the file, if you're sure or not. It just erases it, as far as I can tell. I don't really use it a lot, so it did trigger me before, but I kind of figured that out. And then, of course, the stop key just stops it, and it can't be used as a toggle. It just, as between plain stop, it just stops the file, and it makes a double beep. That's kind of nice. Then the record key will start immediately recording. There's no recording standby. Well, there is and there is not. If you use voice synchro recording, there will be a recording standby, but that would not be considered a general normal recording standby as we normally know it, which I'll talk about later. The arrow keys, you when you play a file, you use up and down arrow to lower and raise the volume. And the OK key in the middle, you use to start playback. And while the file is playing, you can press that key in the middle, and it will then allow you to change speed by using the up and down keys. That will change your playback speed. And then the left and right key will skip between files back and forth, as well as in record mode can change your level, if you set it to manual, then it will be able to set your recording volume. And then the erase button, of course, erase a file. You press it, it said file erase mode. You press up arrow, it will say erase one file. You can then press up arrow again, it will say erase all files in the folder. You choose which one you want, you press OK. It won't say anything, you press up arrow again, it will say start, erase, and you press OK, and it will say erase finished. So that's quite easy to do. The list button on the right bottom, which I spoke about earlier, that will be used to... It's sort of like a backspace key on your computer. I would see this because you kind of go back a folder. So if you are in folder C and you've listened to a lot of files there, you want to go to folder D, you can just press stop to be in stop mode. Press that button once. If you press it once, you're back in the normal list of files from within folder C. And then you press it the second time, you go back in the folder list where folder C would be, and you can go down a row to go to folder D or whatever. And the same with anywhere else where you were. And that's about all the keys on and how they more or less works. And the rest, of course, have speech as far as the menus is concerned. There's no speech when you do the things I've described so far. That's why I just thought I would just point that out, because sometimes people might get confused with that. I do like the recording of this, but I do wish that it had a recording standby. But on the other hand, I don't really care anymore, as I'm getting the LS14 soon, which does actually allow you to choose if you want a recording standby at all or not, depending on which recording mode you're using. So now I'll turn it on and go through the menus real quick here. Now, the DM520 has a different startup sound from the rest of the newer models, I believe, from what I've heard before. So this is how the new sound will be when you switch it on, either from the 620 or all the models that followed after that.
Battery level high.
Okay, so that is how it can't sound when you turn it on. And then, as I said, it leave you in the main. If you were listening to a file, it will put you right there. If you were in the main root of the play, it will put you back there. So there's no sort of a home screen like the LS100 contains, or I'm not even sure if that will, those models take you back there straight away all the time or not. But this, in this regard, this model behaves similar to our book readers, where it just leave you where you kind of were before. So I'll then press the menu key and we can just go through this real quick.
File setting.
Now I think the file menu would be quite obvious, so I'll just go through the options in here. And of course I'm using the up and down key to go through the main menu categories, and then I'm going to press the right arrow now to enter the file menu.
File lock setting.
So if you don't want a file to be deleted, you can just turn this on and it will lock the file. It's currently off.
Off. On. On. Off.
So that's all the choices you have there.
File lock setting.
And then I go down.
File order setting.
Now that's a bit complicated. I mean, you can what I figured out you need to do here, although it's a little tricky because you need to concentrate, and I'm not using that a lot myself, but you can, basically it will then ask you, if I press right arrow,
please select the file you want to reorder.
Now, the thing is, it doesn't, of course, announce file names. It just beeps at you, so you, I guess what you need to do is you need to press, go to the file you want, and you will press the OK key to mark it, and continue in that fashion until you've marked whatever you want, and then you can move to the next step, which I'm not really gonna do right now, or what I guess it would it might also do, it might also just, instead of marking it, probably just change the position of w from where it was before to the wherever you stand. That might be the other possibility. I'm not sure exactly how to deal with this, but I don't really see much of a need for this anyway, because you can set, I mean, any files that you kind of record, you know, you can still categorize them by means of folder names, which I'll get to in a moment, and you can, it would be probably better to rename them anyway and just move them from the recording folders so that you can make space for more items anyway, and by just playing it you can probably get which file you work with. So it's a little tricky, this one.
Setting.
So now I went back and I'll just go down once.
Setting.
Now this is not very difficult at all. The only trick with this is that you have to, I'm not gonna physically move a file now because I really don't have much in here to play with, because I mostly move things out of it if I'm finished recording and then I can further edit them. But basically you can choose which destination you want and which folder. Now I think this prompt is a little incorrect. It should have stated rather, please select which task you want to perform, or well, something that makes just more sense, because it doesn't fit with the options you get, because this screen just allow you to see your destinations. Maybe it should have said choose destination for copy or moving the file, because now you get and we're back where we were. So you just basically choose one of these. Of course, the you must stand on the file that you want to copy or move. Then you come here and you select to copy or move it to the destination you desire. If you then choose a right arrow, it will ask you the to copy one file or all the files. Now again, with multiple, you will then have to again, and this I'm more sure of, you have to really mark the files that you want to include. And again, there's no feedback, so I guess to really do this, you have to know your file structure very well, or you have to examine them and memorize what you need, and where in the list are they located, so you can count the beeps perhaps, and do it that way. I'll just go to one file. Now, yes, you have to stand on the file, I said, but you can also choose it here if you want, so it doesn't matter. I just find it's obviously easier to choose the file you want to work with beforehand than it is automatically highlighted in this screen. And then it will then ask you the folder. And of course, the recorder folder have the subfolders A to E. Now I can then we'll choose folder C here, I think, because that have nothing in it at the moment. Now what happens here, if you press right arrow, nothing happens. So the trick here, and this is why I just went in here quickly, because I think some people might get it wrong. You have to now remember to press the F2 key and not the right arrow key or the OK key. It will not work. because you don't get the choice to choose your internal memory, because you've done that in the first step, or the first few steps where they ask you in the beginning from where to, or where to the destination, I mean, and then the folder comes nearly at the end. So now you just have to press F2 to start copying this thing. So I'm not gonna do it now because it will take long. It's quite a big file I selected by accident here. So I'll just have to
recorder folder.
Back out of it quickly.
Music folder. Podcast folder.
Okay, just backed out of that little prompts they gave there. Now to be down to the next one.
File divide setting.
Now, I think the way this works here is different from the newer models, because the new models have three function keys and you have to select your start and end point with one of or two of those keys, or one of them, I think. Now with this one, it doesn't really work that way. I think you can only divide WAV files, but I might be wrong in that. I'm not 100% sure. But it would anyway be probably preferable with WAV anyway. Now if
setting.
I go in there, it...
Please change the dividing point.
Okay, probably I'm not in the correct location. It will just ask you, I guess you have to be more... You can't be exactly in the beginning of a file, I guess, so you have to move more to the middle and choose at least a point where it can split properly. And then it will basically just ask you to start divide, and you can press up arrow to choose start divide, and you press OK. There's nothing more to that, because wherever you, how this one normally works is that you listen to the file until the point where you want to start divide, and then wherever your position in the file is by the time you bring up the menu, that's probably where it will split it. Whereas with the new models, you have to then select in this screen where you can then press playback somehow and then choose your point that way and mark it, so to speak. So this is a bit different. I don't use this really. I don't find it necessary on this model anyway in particular.
File setting.
But if you need more info in detail in this, let me know so that I can go and really experiment and give you more exact details about it if necessary. The thing is, I don't know what all of you might use and what you might need the most, because I mean we mostly record with these things, not really editing much of them, I would guess.
File divide setting.
Now
property.
Of course the file properties does not read, so not used to go in there.
File lock setting.
So that's the file menu. I'll go to the record menu now.
File setting.
Now, as I said, the 620 contains an extra microphone, so that's the first choice you'll get here.
Microphone select setting.
That's where you turn it on and off. Mine is off currently.
Central microphone off. Central microphone on.
That's the only choices you have there.
Microphone select setting.
And then the sensitivity, I think both the 5 and 620 have that.
Microphone sensitivity setting.
And then you get...
Middle,
low,
high,
and high.
Microphone and sensitivity setting.
That's quite a neat thing, that except that some models only have high and low. And in the case of the LS14, it seems like, as Neil said, the high, low, and middle only work in quick recording mode, but in this model's case it works regardless of your recording level and anything else that you've set, because some features does not work together, but at least with the sensitivity they allow you to be flexible.
Recording mode setting.
Well, I wonder why they use the phrase recording mode. I'm not sure, because this is actually recording format, but so you just have your MP3. Now, I know that the 520 have different bit rates, I think. They have 192 and 320, and I'm not sure what else they have. But it changed in the 620 and newer models. So let me just go through this real quick.
256 kilo BPS.
Then if I go down.
128 kilo BPS.
Okay, sorry, I'm not really in order here. Let me just refresh this. It starts with the
mono
setting, which I believe for MP3 would be 64 kbps. Then you have 128,
256 kilo,
and then
BPS.
You have 320
kilo BPS.
That's all you have there.
MP3 mode.
And then you got
WMA mode.
WMA. As far as I remember, I'm not sure if I'm wrong. I think the 520, they have those things long play and high quality and IQ, and I don't know what the other options are, but they've changed it here. Now with WMA you get
128 kilo BPS, 64 kilo BPS, 32 kilo BPS, monaural.
And the mono for the WMA would be 8 kbps, and it's very telephone sound like. And then you get PCM.
PCM mode.
Which has 44.1.
44.1 kilohertz, 16 bits.
And 48.
48 kilohertz, 16 bits.
Both 16 bit, no 24 bit option here. All the new models got 24 bit varieties as well.
MP3
and that's the free format you have.
Recording mode setting.
Then you got the.
Recording level setting.
Well, that will just be auto and manual.
Manual. Auto.
And the auto gain is very nice. Let me just say, people said a lot about this, but from my time of recordings, what I normally do, or what I found, at least for me, what I really like about the auto gain is that if I'm in a small to medium-sized room and a door shuts, it doesn't really distort, or if so, not much. I really like that it can handle quite a bit of pressure in auto gain mode, so that's nice. The only thing is that these mics are sensitive to wind, and that's maybe not always beneficial, but luckily there are windscreens. I still need to get one, actually.
Manual.
And if you're in manual mode, of course, as I said before, you use your left and right arrows to lower and raise the recording volume.
Recording level setting.
Then if you go down.
Zoom mic setting.
Now, probably some of you know this, but for those who might not know, the zoom mic is then used to move the microphones virtually apart or closer to each other. So it's just to widen or narrowing the stereo spread. It works quite well, although not as well as I wish it would work. I found that my Roland recorder that I used, I had a CD record in the past, that worked much better. But of course, that was because those microphones were physically located further apart from each other. So I guess the way to do it is really a physical way. But I mean, we're talking about small devices, and I guess that Olympus just thought this is a new way of doing this, to move them virtually. You know, it works quite well. The only thing that I found, and I guess I just did something wrong, that when I use the zoom, that sometimes I get more distortion than I usually do if I'm a little too close to it, whereas I switch it off, I don't always get that. I'm not sure, so I probably then use auto gain if I really can't get it to work the way I want. So if someone can give me a tip there, I would appreciate that. I'm not always as good as I wish to be, but I really appreciate the quality of these and the more flexibility they would give them. What our players can give you. And I mean, I'm a big Blackstock fan, but even so, I really have to admit that, you know, I have to switch to Olympus. I mean, the quality of the sound really draw me to them, as I got more to hear how it really performs, and I'm impressed with that. And I thought before of getting a zoom, but I'm not really yet ready to tackle those non-accessible issues yet, although I appreciate the fact that zoom microphones are maybe physically set up a little better, although I'm not really one to speak of that too much yet, and somebody else might have more sophisticated needs than me. So I'll leave that up to the audio engineers to talk about. But for me, at least what I can at least say is that the stereo microphones on its own sounds, I guess, just as much, probably the same as the 520. I don't think there's really a difference in that.
Low cut filter setting.
Okay, sorry. The zoom, what I want to say, the zoom mic, let me just go in there. You just have
off.
The off setting.
Wide 1. Wide 2. Wide 3.
And then
off.
On the other side of off, you have
zoom 1. Zoom 2. Zoom 3. Zoom 4. Zoom 5. Zoom 6.
Up to 6. Now that will narrow, so it will be like a mono feel that you'll get when you record with the position to 5 or 6 or something. And wide will obviously make it spread the stereo field more. So
zoom mic,
if zoom is in use, you cannot use some of the other things like the only mic, I think, and the features that follow below here. Then we have the low-cut filter.
Low-cut filter
and
setting.
I experiment with that still. I'm not really in a situation where I need it a lot, so I don't know how good this really works. I think on the newer models it will really work nicely. But here, that would really depend on where you are and what noise you have. Because, I mean, here there's only a
off
and on setting,
on.
Nothing else.
Low cut
with the
setting.
New models, you at least have two options to choose from, except for off. So that at least helps a bit. But I guess this is still useful. I mean, I just never got into a scenario or situation where I could make the most effective use of it. But when I did try it, I found that it didn't work as nicely when it was set to off. But of course, maybe I had a quieter environment than I thought I did by the time of that recording I've tried. So below that is the
VCVA setting.
Voice control virtual actuator, whatever they would call that, VCVA. So this have to do with the threshold, as they say. It's kind of like the Plex dog would use. They have two settings, switch control, also the, you know, if it detects a certain sound, volume of sound, it will start recording and it can stop when sound is softer than the specified threshold. So it's actually similar, but it's more detailed here. It's more flexible because you have the
on and off setting.
You just simply put it on and then you have the
standby monitor setting.
If you want to monitor, of course, the actual threshold or the you know what it's set at, you have to put on this monitor because once this thing is on, if you press record, you go into VCVA standby mode, as to speak. It will then just, you know, give you the opportunity to test now what is the threshold set to. So if you clap your finger and, you know, it starts, then you know it's kind of very sensitive. You can then adjust the sensitivity of the starting trigger to record with your left and right arrows. And the less sensitive it is, the louder the sound should be before it actually starts record. And then of course, as soon as a sound volume drop below what it's set at, it will then stop recording. And this way you save a lot of blank space or just empty or other sounds that you don't want. And you can shorten the recording in that way, I'm sure. Then you have just on and off and the standby monitor.
On and off setting. VCVA setting.
And then with that, if this is in use, you cannot use the zoom mic and you cannot use the following feature as well, which is voice synchro.
Voice synchro recording.
Now, This is quite similar to the VCVA, I think. It just works slightly differently. You set seconds because it has off and on, and you set it to
1 second. 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds,
okay.
1 second, 5 seconds.
So you just basically set it to that, so I can press OK and then
5 seconds set.
I can't really demonstrate it very well now. I'll get to the timer just now, but the point is that you will press record and then you will go into a standby mode, but this time you can hear continuously what in your monitor what you would record, because it doesn't depend yet on you doing something or any loud sound to trigger it to start. After the amount of seconds, it will, I guess, the amount of seconds that you would, there would be no sound, it should then stop. So you press record, it goes into standby, you make sure you set your volume and you press record, and then if sound is below a certain point, it should stop, or for whatever that seconds is that you specify, if I have this correctly. If not, you can correct me there, because I'm not using this really much, and I think it's quite similar to VCVA, although I think that they kind of, the manual don't explain it very well either, so it's a bit easy to also get confused. And I'm not sure how many people use this, but I think if you have this foot pedal, that also might help eliminate the need to, if you want to use some of these, always to press record all the time when you need to. So, but anyway, that timer then that we have is nice, but also not so nice, because this recorder does not have line in, and I can't really record from a radio or something, so I find the timer not as useful as I wish it could have been because of that. I want to have line in. That's why I also want the LS14, because line in is quite important to me. And I don't really stay in an area where I have the possibility to record with the microphones, things like music, to make it, to really pick it up nicely and in a quality style that you can really use it effectively elsewhere, because there will always be noise popping in somewhere. I'm not really that fortunate. But that's why line-in is important to me. But now this one does not have line-in. So people said you can use the mic jack and record, and it still could work quite well. Well, not from what I've tried. I don't know if there's a way to do it, but for me it didn't really work. And I guess a dedicated line-in jack is much, much better than a shared jack or a mic jack. There it exits the menus now. Not sure why it did that. Let me just get back to where we were. Now the timer, then what you have in there is just, I think there's three of them. Yeah, it's so it's three presets or custom options that you have to set, or three different slots that you can use to set the timer for, and each of them contains things that you need to set, like the day after the start and stop time, as well as the folder where you want to record to. So the trick here, actually, if you just press right arrow, nothing works, and there's even not even a beep, so you have to press the OK key.
Setting will be completed if you press OK button.
Then what you get here are the on and off.
On and off setting.
So you don't have to delete the whole thing. You can just, well, you can't really. You just switch it off when you want it not to be active.
Day setting.
You just can choose today here.
Only once.
Or only once.
Every day. Every week. Only once.
Now.
Every day.
Every day and once will not really have sub options.
Every week.
But every week it will give you the days that you want.
Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday.
Wednesday. Thursday. Friday.
Saturday. Sunday. From Monday to Friday. From Monday to Saturday. Monday.
Okay, so you basically choose one of those. And then let me choose
every week. Every day. Only once.
Only once.
Set as once.
It will then confirm that it's set as once. Then you get
time setting.
The time, and of course here you will have to use the beeps. Now
start time.
Let me just quickly run this down for those who don't maybe know this. And as I said, if you want to set the actual clock, you can synchronize the date and time with your computer when you use the included Olympus Nordic software. But in the case of this recording timer as well as the alarm, you would maybe need to get used to the beeps if you don't want to use sighted help. So just to recap this, you just basically have your beeps, and then you have the lower beeps, and then you have the higher beep in the middle. So what you need to do is you find this higher beep, and then that will be where your zero is, or 12 a.m. would be on the hour. It said start time now, so you automatically land on an hour, on the hour spin box or list box or whatever you want to call it. So you would then choose your hour, because it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and you're back to zero. So if your clock is set to 12 hour mode, it should then beep after 12 and not continue to 13. So that's also a way to know maybe what you are using, except that if your display is set for 12 hour, you will not necessarily know, because these options are always show in 24 hour fashion. So you can tell by minutes and hours, because you just simply count them and you can see where they end, where the beep repeats, and that will tell you. So if I press right arrow, you go to the minutes, and you can then count from 1, 2, 3 until 59, and you can then get back to zero again all the way. And that way you can set your minutes. Up arrow will move you forward and down arrow will move you back. So if you keep press down, if I go back to the zero position, if I then go down, you'll go 59 and backwards. So just need to keep that in mind. Now in the clock area, you would then move to the date area if you press right arrow, if I'm not mistaken. But now you probably will go to the stop time, because this is a recording timer.
Stop time.
Exactly. Now you're again at the hours and the minutes here. And then you think you will go back to the... Okay, it doesn't wrap back to the start and stop time. But you can then press OK here.
Time set.
Once you've done that. Now, nothing will be saved, because you have to press on that prompt where it said setting will be completed if you press OK button. So if you don't press OK and just go back out of this, it will not save this timer. But we can go down from here.
Recording mode setting.
So this is where you say the format that you want to record in this timer, which of course we saw was MP3, WAV or WMA, with the corresponding bit rates. And then you have
recording folder setting.
So in which of the five folders from A to E should this recording go to, which will be assigned to this timer. You can set that.
Internal memory.
Also between the memories you can choose that.
Micro SD card.
I kinda like that.
Internal memory. Folder A.
I'll just folder E here.
Folder E. E folder set. Microphone sensitivity setting.
That's also nice. And of course, I think it's worth mentioning that if you change the sensitivity here, it will be independent from the microphone sensitivity option in the recording menu, because this is obviously meant to be assigned to this specific timer in this preset one time slot. So it's independent. It's not supposed to override the setting in the recording menu.
Setting will be completed if you press OK button.
And that's what you then have to do indeed when you really want this to set. So I'll just cancel out of this.
Preset 1.
And then they have preset 2 and 3, you can do the same thing. So you can set them all up to where you want. So it's kind of nice. Just wish that they would really add spoken feedback to the hours and minutes and to the main clock, as well as the memory and system information menu items, which for many models now they just seem like they refuse to do. Not sure why. Maybe we should try and contact them. I'm not sure exactly as to where to send feedback to. But at least it's still doable, and it's not that bad. It can be done. So
Preset 2.
now, if I go out of this,
Timer recording setting.
we're nearly done here. Then we cut the scenes, I think.
Recording scene setting.
Now, let me just recap this as well for those who don't know. The Plex Talk have the same idea here, but they are obviously much limited because they just give you presets like conference, radio, analog, cassette, and so forth, and all is good as well. But there's not really a way to make a custom preset. Yes, you can choose custom, there is a custom mode where you can choose how each setting within the recording, where you can choose where. How you want each of the settings that would be contained in a preset must be handled for you, but it's not like in here where you can actually customize your entire preset to where you want. There's only one custom mode, and you can set it the way you want. Each time you have to redo it, but now you have again. Oops, you have.
Recording scene select.
Okay, let me just start there then. So this is where you would select which one must be active. Now, what I like about this compared to the DM520 is that the 520 might not tell you. I'm not sure. Those of you who haven't can correct me, but it will not confirm for you that. I mean, if you have a scene set and you decide to use the main menu settings at a different stage, it will probably just override it, and you would not even be aware, or it would not really confirm to you in any way that, you know, this is not, you are now overwriting something. But what I like about this is that it actually would tell you, mine is off now. But if I would select one of these and I try to change a setting in the recording menu later on, it would tell me, please set this to off. So I like that, because then you know that one of these are in use. So that's kind of awesome, I would say. Now, of course, they have their own presets here.
Lecture, conference, meeting, dictation, DNS, preset 1.
And then they have presets for you as well.
Preset 2. Preset 3.
Also, three of them. So, and then they have off again.
Recording scene select.
So you once you've set them to where you want, I mean the preset 1, preset 2, preset 3, what you need to do is you leave them off, you choose the settings you want for the first preset that you want to customize, then you go to, once you've set the settings in the main recording menu the way you want, you come down to this option,
Save recording scene.
and then you just
Preset 1.
choose between 1, 2, and 3, the one that you want. It will then save whatever you have set in the menus. You go back into the main recording menu, choose what you want again differently, come back here and choose preset 2, and repeat the steps again to save the third preset if necessary. And once you've saved them, you can then activate them by going to the previous option
Recording scene
and
select.
then choose preset 1, 2, or 3 if you don't want to use the custom presets that they the built-in presets that they provide. So this is more or less how it works, and as I said, if you then have them active, you will not be able to change the setting in the recording menu. And I think the same with the playback scenes as well. So it's like having profiles on mobile speak, or just your normal profiles anyway. You just set options that you use regularly, and then you can switch them. You know, you might want the low cut filter to be on when you attend the class, and you do that with preset 1, and if you don't want that, you can just switch to preset 2, where it's off, or whatever the case may be, and so forth. So that's kind of nice. I see that the newer models don't really have the settings, so the recording scenes, as well as some of the playback features. So the 520 and 620 are still good for intermediate recording, and if you still want the music player with it, I would say that they still maintain very much the same functionality.
Save recording scene.
So you only can select and you save your custom user presets. So that's the only things in the recording scene.
Recording scene setting.
And then the last one is the
recording monitor setting.
So you can switch this on and off. That's the only thing that's there. And then I do have to point out that when you switch it off and you have headphones on, you will hear the beep when you start recording. Some people don't mention this, so I just have to say it, that you can hear the beep when you start recording, but when you pause, you don't hear anything. You don't also hear the annoying double beep that it sounds when it stays too long in pause mode. And when you restart again the recording, you still don't hear a beep. So just, if you ever do it, be careful and concentrate. That's what I like about the LS100, the fact that the beeps for recording standby, for start and pause are different. That's kind of cool. But not a big deal, I guess, at the end of the day.
Recording monitor setting.
Now I'll go to the
microphone select setting.
Okay, that's where we were, so I'll go to the play menu.
Play menu.
Now
noise cancellation setting.
As I said, if you want this to play a lot of files, maybe this model is a very good choice, because it still maintains most of the playback settings, which are now not present any longer. Some of them, but not all of them, as they used to be. So the noise cancellation, of course, is just like a noise filter. But again, the problem,
off.
You just have off and on.
High.
Except for maybe this one, there's high and
low.
But what I mean is,
off.
It doesn't really tell you what, that's what I actually meant. It doesn't say the decibels for you and stuff like that. So, but I guess high and low is still more choice, I guess, than just on and off.
Noise cancellation setting.
I meant the voice filter is only on and off.
Euphony setting.
Well, euphony is like making the sound. I'm not sure if they play with the characteristics that you would find in surround sound or something, because
off.
You get off. So I guess they play with the frequencies there, in some way. And I assume that you would need speakers like monitor speakers to really hear how it actually differ, which I don't have, so I can't say. I think the power natural would be the best between them for my hearing, but of course I don't hear maybe as well as someone else. And But it's good it's there. It's useful.
Euphony setting. Voice filter setting.
And if I'm not mistaken, when you use one of these, you can't use the other. So if you use euphony, you can't use the noise filter. If you use the noise filter, you can't use the voice filter. Use the voice filter.
Off.
It's off.
On. Off.
That's all you get. So that's what I meant in the beginning. I'm sorry. The noise filter do give you low and high, the voice filter only on and off. So nice it's there, but also a little limited. But it's still quite useful depending on which files you listen to, I would guess.
Voice filter setting.
And how they were recorded. Then you get
playback mode setting.
Now I love this because I really feel that the stream and those kind of things doesn't have repeat mode in Music Bookshelf, and I've tried to tell you in a way, please add that, but they just, you know, give me an ignore, so I guess that they feel it can go without it. So I'm glad that these devices allow you a bit more flexibility, because I mean, if you look at the file structure of these things, it's a tree view and you can't select a folder. You know, in a book sense, you just press play on a folder, it plays the folder if you want all the files in the folder to play. If you press play here on a folder, it simply moves you inside the folder and on the first file in the folder. So, you know, you must really have something to choose to make it work. So now playback mode.
Playback area setting.
This is the first option. That's what I talk about. What you have is
all files playback.
You know, like all the iPods and whatever else players work, you just play on. You can start anywhere, it doesn't have to be the first file in the first folder. Anywhere in the structure you can press play, it will just play until the end of whatever your last folder is, in the music folder or in the podcast folder or in the recorder. If you're in the recorder folder, it will go to folder B automatically and so forth. I'm not sure if it will go from the music folder to the recorder folder if, or whatever, between the music and podcast modes, if it will switch from those to the recorder folder, because those are sort of a little separate in the recording functionality. So I didn't try that yet, but I assume it will, because it says all files. Then you have the
playback file,
one file at a time. That's quite useful, because I find sometimes if I have just two files or one file in a folder and I play that, and I just want to test if it came out correctly, and then it just there's one file, but there's maybe files in another folder underneath that, it just moves there, and then I have to press the list button and go back to the previous folder, and that's not always nice. So in that instance, the playback file is quite nice to use. So it just stops at the end of the file that you currently play, as simple as that.
Folder playback.
And this is where it just plays the entire folder and it just stops. So this is what determines how it will play. It's not like the book, since we have to choose before you start what you actually want. This is determined by this settings over here. And so if you want to use repeat mode, you have to set it. If you want to repeat one file, you have to set this to playback one file, and then you can switch repeat on. Otherwise, it will just keep repeating all files or the entire folder, depending on what this thing is set to. Once one file, playback folder only, or playback all files.
Playback area setting.
Then there's the
repeat playback setting.
Repeat, which can be just be
off
and on.
On.
And then
repeat playback setting.
Random.
Random playback setting.
Which only is
off
and on.
On.
So that's it for
random playback setting.
For this submenu.
Playback area setting.
So now I go left again.
Playback mode setting.
So playback mode contains two main sections. It's the playback area, and then that contains options underneath that. And then you have repeat and random. So they kind of group it together there. So if I go down.
Skip interval setting.
At least this feature maintained in the newer models. I do like that, because you can customize what the left and right arrow does. So this is for when you're playing a file.
Skip.
You get skip.
Reverse skip.
And reverse skip. So of course the skip option
skip
will apply to your right arrow. So if you're playing a file, the whatever you set this for, the right, when you press the right arrow while playing, that's what it will do. So what they give you are
file skip.
And then just increments here.
10 second skip. 30 second skip. 30 seconds. 1 minute skip.
1 minute.
5 minute skip.
5 minutes.
10 minute skip.
10 minutes.
File skip.
So that means whenever you press the right arrow while playback is busy, it will then skip 10 minutes or 30 seconds or whatever you set this to. And the nice thing is that you can set them independently.
Skip.
Because the
reverse skip
applies to the left arrow. Normally it will just bring you to the beginning of the current file, but you can still change it.
File skip.
The increments are a little different here.
1 second skip. 2 second skip. 3 second skip. 4 second skip. 5 second skip. 10 second skip. 30 second skip. 1 minute skip. 5 minute skip.
So there's more options here.
10 minute skip. File skip.
So what I like about the reverse option is that it can actually be handy when you want to repeat a very small fragment which just passed by, but you don't want to really press and hold down the left arrow to rewind. But of course, the disadvantage is that if you want to go back to the beginning of the file, you then have to go come in here and set it again to file skip. But it's at least independently changeable, which I really appreciate.
Skip.
So.
Skip. Setting.
Then you get the alarm.
Alarm playback setting.
It's very similar to the recording timer, so
preset 1.
You have 3 presets, you choose one of these.
Setting will be completed if you press OK button.
You have the on and off setting.
On and off setting.
You got the
day setting.
And that's the same stuff.
Only once.
Every day.
Every week. Only once.
And then you can choose the days of the week underneath the every week option. Which days you want.
Day. Time setting.
And yes, except that here are only one time you have to set, not a stop and a start time, because you just have a start time, of course, when it must go off. Again, the beeps and everything there applies exactly the same.
Volume setting.
And then you have the volume. Now, the nice thing about this is that you just change the volume.
Volume 15.
It will tell you until wherever it goes.
Volume 16. Volume 19. Volume 22. Volume 26.
I'm just skipping randomly here quickly.
Volume 29. Volume 30. Volume 30.
Okay, so it goes from 1 to 30. Okay, so it can go quite loud.
Volume setting.
But now the nice thing is that
alarm sound setting.
With the sounds, if you go in there,
alarm 1.
It just says alarm 1. Alarm 2.
Alarm 3.
And alarm 3.
Alarm 1.
But you can hear it. Still, you don't have to wait for the thing to go off. You stand on the sound you want, so it's alarm 1. So if I press the F1 key, it should play the sound for me.
Alarm 2.
Alarm 2.
Alarm 3.
Alarm 3. I like that. That's my favorite sound. But
alarm sound.
So
setting.
At least I don't leave you in the dark here by just present you with the descriptions and, you know, screw the rest.
Playback file setting.
And you can choose a file to play. I hate this in Olympus's case because it's not really like the BookSense now, where you can just select it and it will play. I mean, it actually just play the sound and then the file starts, you know. But that's not really what you want. I mean, you want the sound not to appear at all, and you want it to be able to just come on and start playing the file if it was off by the time that the alarm was set. So I'm not really crazy about that. And again, it doesn't give you any. It doesn't give you any feedback, so
file select. No file playback.
You have to go into file select and
file select. Micro SD card.
You can choose the memory and the
recorder folder.
The main folders, but after that you get the beeps.
Music. No file.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong location. There's no music on my memory card.
Podcast folder.
But it just keep beeping at you.
Micro int.
And basically, I have folders. And I've got files in them, so you have to just know what appears where in your file list and your folder list to choose the right file. Anyway, that's just how that works.
Internal memory.
And then
file select. Playback. Setting will be completed
okay.
If you press OK.
So that's all for the alarm playback.
Preset 1.
So
alarm playback setting.
If I go down from there,
playback scene setting.
Then you have the scenes, like you have with the recording. This is the same thing. You can set the settings in the playback menu the way you want. You come in here, you choose
playback scene saving. Playback scene select.
At first you would set them the way you want. You go to playback scene saving, you press on preset 1, preset 2, or preset 3. You reset the playback menu, you come back, you press playback scene saving again, go in there, choose preset 2 and whatever the next one is. And once you set up the three custom slots, you come to playback scene select and you choose preset 1, preset 2, or preset 3, whatever you have set there. So the same as the recording one, just that it has different options because the
playback scene saving.
Factory settings are different now.
Playback scene select off. Voice 1. Voice 2. Music 1. Music 2. Music 3.
Okay.
Off.
That's all you can do. So let's less presets than the recording menu and also different ones. And then you have the reverb, which I think the 520 don't have. And I kind of like that. It's nice to play with. Just it has off,
studio,
club, hall, and dome. Okay. That's
reverb setting.
That's all to it.
Noise cancellation setting.
So then we go to the next menu. Which is the
display and sound menu.
Display and sound. So here we have the
backlight setting.
I think these last two main categories, display and sound and device menus, are exactly the same as the 520 as far as I can remember. But I'll just go through them again if someone might maybe forget what some of these does. Backlight, of course, well.
Lighting time setting. Brightness.
Backlight contains setting. Underneath that lighting time. If
setting.
I go in there. So that
off.
I just switch all of these to off, but you get 1 second or
1 minute.
Whatever.
30 seconds. 10 seconds.
You know.
5 seconds.
And then off again. So
lighting time
I guess
setting.
It just means how long the light must stay on until it automatically goes off, I think.
Brightness setting.
Brightness I always keep to low.
High.
Except for this podcast, I probably didn't because I guess that I used it a week or two ago, but mostly
low.
I keep it on low. I'm not sure why it's
high
right now.
Low.
I think I needed someone to read to me something here, which himself had partial sight, so I'll just put it back on low.
Low set. Lighting time setting.
That's all that's
Bright.
I think here.
Backlight
so underneath
setting.
The backlight, you have
contrast.
Now. That's also a thing that no one else mentioned before in any podcast about the 520, so I think it's worth mentioning here because this applies here as well. Contrast is no speech, of course, and there are few menu items, I think contrast as well as the USB settings, that if you choose up and down arrow to change something and you don't press OK, it still stick. So you must be careful about that because, you know, it doesn't cancel when you press left arrow like some of the other menus does. So if you make a mistake there, it's kind of difficult to know what you've done if you don't know what you've selected. And the reason why I mention this with contrast, because with contrast, I find that if I choose something in there, my accident, which I didn't know I've done, that it doesn't announce the battery level when you switch it on. So I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure how does the display settings affect this and why it does that. But that's kind of weird. And I had to go back to reset to factory defaults. And that was not very nice to do. So just be careful with the contrast thing. So I'm not even going to go in there. Just beep on you.
LED lamp setting.
LED lamp. I'm not sure what that is. But I just put it off because I suggest that if it's a lamp or it should shine like a lamp just in a different fashion. As far as display is concerned, I guess, so I'd rather leave it off to save battery power.
Display and
sorry.
Beep sound setting.
And underneath that is beep. Now this is of course very nice, but it just tells you the
volume 3.
The scale that you get free
off
volume 1.
Volume
2, volume
2. Volume 3.
And you can hear the beeps also raising and lowering as you change it. So I like that. The beeps is really very useful. If I put it off, it feels like I'm using a Zoom recorder or a Roland, and that's not always a nice feel, but it's also usable when it's switched off, so I guess it's a personal preference, and nice that they give you that choice.
Beep sound setting.
And then
language select menu.
They just have English, Spanish and French. I'm not even going in there. But it just announced it in the same voice.
English.
You know, Spanish and French.
Language select menu. Voice guidance setting.
Now, of course, you just get on and off
on and
your speed.
Guidance speed setting.
And your volume.
Volume setting.
And your speed obviously makes quite of a difference, but there's not too much. I think 1 to 5.
Guidance speed. Speed 3. Speed 4. Speed 5.
Yeah. And then
speed 1.
Okay, that's kind of where it starts.
Guidance speed.
And the volume
setting.
I think is the same.
Volume setting. Volume 5.
Yeah, 5 is the maximum. So, and you can hear it change louder or softer as you move the thing to change.
Volume 1.
Set volume 1.
Volume 2. Volume
3. So it does give you that extra physical or real-time feedback rather as well.
Volume setting.
So that's all for the voice guidance, and then
voice guidance setting. Intro playback setting.
Now this is something also people sometimes get wrong. Let me just explain this quickly because I know this. This is kind of handy for people who might not be familiar with the complete file structure at times. You know, if you have a music folder with a lot of subfolders or podcasts, and then you can use this actually to browse the tree view and just hear the first snippet of that to see if you have the correct file, if you would press play on it, if that would be the correct. So you don't have to then press play and find out. You can just use the intro. So if it's switched off, then of course, you know, you have to then press play to hear what you are standing on. But when it's set on, you can
10 seconds.
I've set to 10 seconds right now, but
5 seconds.
You have 5 seconds.
3 seconds.
3 seconds.
Off.
And off. So depending on how much you want to hear before you actually press play, you can adjust that. So you can come back and adjust it further. If you had 3 seconds and it's too little, you make it 5 or 10. So that's kind of what that does.
Intro playback setting.
Quite nice if you consider the fact that there's no text to speech or any other way to know what files you are dealing with.
Backlight setting.
Now,
display and sound menu.
That's all for that menu. The last menu is the device menu.
Device setting.
Okay, it said device. I'm not sure if that came out. The voice went softer. I'm not sure also why that happens. If you press buttons too quickly in succession, the voice goes softer. Now,
memory select.
That's just where you choose your internal memory and micro card.
Internal memory. Micro SD okay. Card. Memory.
And then you have the
power save setting.
Well, yeah, that's just like
off.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
1 hour.
1 hour.
Off.
So if you press stop and you just leave the thing on and it does nothing, it will switch off, you know, on, I think in Olympus case, not completely off. It will just enter a safe standby state or whatever, because it's not physically off. I found that you can still switch it off on the side, but it at least enter a sort of a power save mode after a specified time here.
Power save setting.
Except that it doesn't completely switch off.
Battery select setting.
This is what I said that the 520 does not have, as far as I'm aware, where you choose the battery to match so that you can charge the thing with the batteries inside from the PC and use the charging capability of this machine itself. If you don't want to put it in another charger, that you have to select, make sure that you use the included batteries and set this to
nickel metal hydride battery.
You also get the So if you buy batteries, alkaline, then which is not rechargeable, you would have to put them in and set it. So it will ask you, of course, when you put them in the first time to select this option straight away. So no problem there. But it's also here in the menu to select later on.
Folder name setting.
Now, I didn't yet got these to work. So if someone played with this, because the 520 also contained these, where you can just choose your folder A to E to have different names, I guess, if you want to categorize your recordings in a better fashion, you can kind of, it's not like physically renaming them, but it's supposed to give the folders a different name from, at least on the display, from what you want to see, like
folder B.
If you don't want to see folder B and folder A,
folder C.
You choose one of these folders, you go in there,
note,
and it give you choices here, note,
idea, to do, reminder, lecture,
schedule,
archive,
okay,
folder C,
or the original name. So you get the idea. So once you
folder C.
Once you've set this,
folder name setting.
I guess that when you browse for those folder A to E, you should first visually at least see that one of those names are there. It doesn't speak, as far as I can tell, unless if I did it wrong. But I tried it and it didn't work. So, you know, maybe I've done it wrong. But that's what it's supposed to do. So I guess either it doesn't work or it just shows visually. So just, I guess, better than seeing folder A to E all the time. Although for me it's not a big problem, but nice that they give you that choice.
Time and date setting.
This is just where you set the normal clock, of course, and as I said, you can just sync it with the computer, so you don't even have to bother. The only thing that I don't like about this, if you want to use the beeps, it's not nice when you get to the month. Actually, the year, I mean the year. Because I think the trick is that you have to know which year was this actually released, you know. In this case, 2011, that would be probably the year that it's set on when you put in the batteries, because it was released in 2011. So, but I mean, if you don't know that, or if you're not sure, well, that would be a very wide cycle to go through and see if you can ever find the correct year. Because I'm not sure where the beep would be then. Would it be on 2011? I'm not always sure of that. So I just sync the thing, you know. I'm not sure if the newer models have Olympus Sonority, but if anyone needs Sonority and they don't have it with the recorders, email me or give people my address. I'll send you an ISO file which you can burn and you can use it that way, because it's really handy for that. And the other thing that you would use Sonority for, if you want to, is to change the names or the beginning part of the names that your recordings start with. So, for example, if I record and I finish, I'll see on the computer afterwards, it calls it DM620 and whatever the number follows. You can change that phrase DM620 to something else. And that's what will be, which will then be part of the file name from there onwards, which is kind of nice.
USB setting.
Now, just let me refresh this as well for someone who might forget, quite easy. Also, be careful. This connection options here, it seems like they like to change these things model after model, because the 620, the way it works here is that you have to obviously choose
variable.
I've got it set on variable, and again, this is where it sticks. If you choose
PC connection
and you don't press OK and you go back left arrow, it sticks there. It keeps setting on PC connection, so if you didn't intend to change it, you would. So remember where you left it, or put it where it was. Otherwise, you might be surprised that it's behaving differently. PC connection, of course, if you press connected to the computer with the USB cable, it immediately get recognized by the computer, and you can browse, copy, delete, and rename, and move files, and so forth. If you put it on
AC adapter,
of course, then it will be used for charging. Your computer won't see it. It will just charge through the USB port. But again, if you do this, remember to press OK when it asks you to do so. It will not charge. I've found it out the hard way. And then variable, of course, will allow you to connect the cable, and then it will ask you, it will present a screen that will allow you to choose between AC and adapter and PC. Just remember what I said in the beginning, when your batteries were completely flat and you reinsert them and you want to charge, be careful that you just maybe don't press up and down everywhere you connect. Just press OK straight away so that you can get to the dialog where it's asked you for AC adapter or PC connection, or where it could straight away ask you to charge if AC adapter was your selected item before.
Variable.
So I've set it back to variable because it sticks. I can't just leave it that way. So and that's kind of what's to the connection part.
USB connection setting.
And then the composite.
USB class setting.
You have a storage and composite here.
Storage class.
Of course, that allows the PC to see your recorder as a mass storage device, so you can browse the thing and then look what's going on there. And the composite is just to allow the thing to be used as a speaker or a microphone on the computer. So if you don't have a USB mic or a good sound card, you can just use this microphone. I'm not sure, because this recorder has three microphones, I'm not sure which ones are used. I guess the stereo mics only, not the Omni mic. Although I'm not sure about that completely. But the other thing I don't like is that it only works with sonority. I don't seem to pick up the option to choose this as my input device in any other software. I'm using Total Recorder a lot and I cannot do that. I can try again, but also if you have the 620, make sure it's updated because there was one update that it got which allowed this functionality to be usable. So if you try and do it and it doesn't work, you know that your 620 is not up to date. Go and download the update file. You go to www.olympusamerica.com. You choose audio from the main page. From there, you can choose software downloads, and you should be able to find it. If you've got Olympus Sonority installed, you simply would press on the check for software, check for device updates button. It would open a web page, which will then bring you to the first page where you need to select the type of recorder, which will be digital recorders with music players. That's the option you need to select. On the second page, it will present to you the model, so you have to choose the 620. From there, it will ask you the operating system, where you can choose Windows or Mac. And from there, the page that follow will bring you the .x file or the .dmg file, which you need to download. You connect the recorder to your computer. You open that file. It will ask you, tell you about the update, or you can there's a README file that you can also get. Next to that file, which you can download, a small PDF file that lists some of the changes, and you don't hear anything on the recorder, but the install is accessible, so it just tells you what it does. You just wait for it to finish, you disconnect afterwards, and it will restart by itself. It won't give you feedback immediately, so just leave it a bit until you hear the restart sound, as you heard in the beginning, and it will be updated. The 520, I don't think have any updates, but the 620 does have this one update. So it's important if you want to use this that you do get the update.
Storage class.
So that's what composite R4 and storage class is for the recorder to show up as a drive.
USB. USB connection.
Okay, let me just go out of that.
Reset setting.
Of course, you can just reset. It will just ask you.
The setting will be reset. Stop resetting.
So it doesn't ask you, you just up and down to see which one you want.
Reset setting.
And then format.
Format menu.
Now, the manual also state that you have to format using this recorder only. Don't format this on a computer. And I think that you might have a little bit of problems. I think it's important to remember for those who don't know that the speech files are stored in the internal memory in the system folder in a folder called is it now let me think what is it called. You have the recorder folder and you have a system folder. Inside the system folder you have a recovery.dat file and another file, and there's a folder called O underline guide or something like that. Oh well, underline guide or something. And then in there are the different subfolders. You get EN for English, FR for French. And when you go in there, you get the corresponding audio WMA files to which speak the menus. And if you need to format the internal memory, don't worry about it. Yes, you're going to lose the files, but you can back them up before if you wish. And of course, Olympus Sonority, that's another thing why you would need Olympus Sonority, can bring you back those files. You connect the recorder to your computer. Open the Olympus Sonority, press Alt D to bring up the downloads menu, up arrow from there till you get upload voice files or voice guidance files or whatever. You press enter there, and you can also press sound check for updates to see if there's additional files. But otherwise, it will also automatically detect if there's no voice files, and it will offer you the choice to put them back there. So if you've lost them and you didn't back them up, don't panic. You can get them back. And I need to say this because it's very strange that people who've done podcasts about the 520 did not even know or mention that. And they also said that Olympus Sonority is not really accessible. I beg to really differ. I think what probably happened is they put the CD in and they got a graphical screen and they have got a fright of their life. Well, you just have to close that screen and find the installer file from within your Windows Explorer. As easy as that, and everything is accessible from there on, at least. And what you need from there on would be accessible. So that would be the three main important reasons why you would consider strongly Olympus Sonority. And as I said, if you don't have it, email me. I'll send you the ISO with the code to activate it, and you can use it from there. And these last two items don't speak: memory information and system information.
System information.
Also, when you format the internal memory, it will give you two choices, two chances to abort it if you wish, which the last prompt will then speak the fact that you might not be able to, that you will not indeed be able to use the alarm or speech after you format. So it does warn you, but as I said, don't panic about that. Just prepare when you want to or need to format. And
Setting.
that is all the menus.
File setting.
So that is where I would bring this to a sort of a close for now. I was not sure exactly what some of you would struggle with and what you would really want from this, because I assume that some of you have the model and could do recordings yourself. So I was not sure to really include yet a sample of something that I recorded, that I already have done, because I could do that as well if someone need that. But let me know if you really need that, and then I can do that. So also, I think the off sound compared to the 520 is the same. If you switch it off, this is what you get, and I think the 520's one is the same. It's just the startup sound that it's changed, as far as I'm aware. Very funny why they did that. But that is then the most important aspects of this. You have to also experiment, to get things the way you like. And if you have any other questions, or if I need to give more detail and go into something or clarify something, find out maybe something that I didn't know or didn't cover for you, then you can email me at Aidan, Aidan, dot smarttalk, smarttalk, at gmail.com, and I'll be willing to help where I can. And I'm sorry about the synchro recording, which was a little tricky, but if someone know more about how to use it practically in a better way, just let us know that we can learn from each other. And thanks for requesting this, and I was happy to do this. If you need any sound or sample of any recording, let me know, and I'll see what I can do. Thanks for listening.